Welcome, everyone, to Commissioner's Court today. As we begin, I'm going to ask someone who would be a volunteer to come up to the microphone and to offer invocation before the Lord for us today. Is there someone who would do that, please?
The sheriff is standing.
I'll do it, Judge.
Sheriff, would you?
That's what I get for being late, right?
Talk about the right place at the right time. Hey, Sheriff, if you would also lead us in the pledges.
Absolutely. If everyone stand and go to the Lord with me in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity for us all to come together. Thank you for this court. May they make decisions that are wise and pleasing to you. Mm. Lord, thank you for our military. Thank you for them keeping us safe as they serve abroad. Thank you for our first responders and what they do to keep us safe domestically. Lord Jesus, we pray all these things in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
The American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state,
under God, one,
indivisible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
Let the record reflect that all are present
for Commissioner's Court today. We have a quorum. At this time, before we move into the rest of the agenda, I'm going to ask Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Riley, if you would introduce our guests who are here with us today.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate that. I want to introduce Dr. Todd Stevens, Superintendent of Magnolia ISD. Todd, if you would come up to the front and introduce the group of young students that we have with us today. These are very special students from Magnolia ISD in the student leadership. Todd, how long have you started at? You can fill us in on how you did all this.
Absolutely, absolutely, Commissioner. Appreciate it, Judge and Commissioners. Thank you all for having us here. These are our Magnolia ISD student leadership, and they are juniors and seniors from both Magnolia High and Magnolia West. And Commissioner, I think we started this maybe 10 years ago or so. I don't know if you were on the board even at that time.
I was just getting off the board
we started. But I don't know. I tell these guys some of the purpose of this is, first of all, I want to make sure that as the leader of a school district in our school district, that we were doing everything possible to teach leadership skills, and not only just leadership, some of that's corporate and business, but also elected leadership and what sort of inherent traits are a part of folks who are willing to stand up and be elected to serve in their communities to make life in our country better. And so we decided we're going to study it. And we think one of the best ways to do that is to get out and rub elbows with elected leaders and have these students an opportunity to see our government in action. So we traveled to Commissioner's Court. We're going to go down to Austin and see all the mess that happens down there, some part of that. And it's a great experience for them. And so we're just happy to be here today. And of all the places we visit, Judge, Commissioner's Court is our favorite place we ever come to.
I'm so glad to hear that, Dr. Stevens. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
I will say sometimes we have a better show than Austin.
Probably so, no doubt. So thank y'all so much for having us.
Would y'all all get up here? I don't know what the teachers or the folks you brought with you. You introduce those guys, and let's all get up here and take a picture real quick.
Yes, John Wheeler, Jeremy Day, and Brittany Mars.
Y'all come on.
Y'all come on up here.
Take a picture real
quick.
And
then I'll have all the rest of them up here.
Yeah, I'm good. I know, for the front.
All right.
There's a lot of them here.
Man, I'm telling you, that's awesome.
Which one of these people going to run against you, Charlie?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody will.
Why don't you slide that down there a little bit. There you go. Come on down this way a little bit. There you go.
I think
that's good.
I don't want to be a commissioner.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Perfect.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being here.
Thank y'all.
Oh, God. Don't do that, man.
I really do think that's a great thing that Magnolia ISD does. Todd, are you the only... Are you the only district that does this type thing, leadership, student leadership type thing?
Kind of.
I think so. I think it's a great thing, and I appreciate all y'all do. Thank y'all again.
All right. Commissioner, thank you very much. Appreciate it so much. All right. At this time, do we have a motion to approve Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. At this time, we give opportunity to our citizens to come up to the microphone and share what's on their mind in relationship to either an item on the consent agenda or on the agenda itself. At the end of our session here today, we have a general open time when you can talk about whatever you want. Here's the stipulations. You have 3 minutes. We ask that you would come up, state your name, state what item you'd like to address. If you have something that you want to hand out to the individuals, the commissioners here, up here to the dais, just ask permission before you do it, and we'll be glad to take whatever you have to give us. So with that in mind, Commissioner, are you going to keep our time for us,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that's my most important job.
There you go. So is there anybody here who of our citizens who would like to make comments on an item on the agenda or on the consent agenda or open agenda?
Judge, I would remind that we do have a public hearing with some people that are here to speak at the public hearing. We'll do that during the agenda, during the public hearing time.
Did you all get that?
If you're here to talk at the public hearing, we will do it during the public hearing time, not right now.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
You're out of time, Amy.
Appreciate that, Amy. All right, then let's move on in our agenda. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Presentation by the Tuff Foundation. Oh, man.
Beck and Bruce.
Oh, you're going to let me?
Yes.
Okay. Judge, Commissioners, thank you all for having us up today. I want to thank the Tuff Foundation. They've been in business since 2015, raising money for veterans and first responders. They've given out over $200,000. Today they're going to present two checks for $10,000, one to Precinct 5 for a K-9 and one to Precinct 4, Constable's Office, for a K-9 too. So we just wanted to invite them up and tell them how much we appreciate them and maybe get a picture with y'all in there and really appreciate everything they do for us.
Great. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Very good.
Phyllis, nobody wants to say anything?
Come on.
Come on, Phyllis.
We just want to say thank you to Montgomery County. Thank you to the commissioners. Robert Walker, you supported us. Charlie, you supported us from the beginning. Rand Henderson, all of you guys. We love this county, and we love to give back to our first responders and our veterans.
Very good. Thank you.
Y'all do a great job.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And I appreciate everything y'all do.
All right. Would you like to get a picture? Yeah, just come on up here if you would.
Take a picture. Jason.
That'd be great.
Chair.
A lot of pictures.
Chair, need to get up here. Hold up.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, Sheriff.
Cool, Chair.
All righty. One, two, three. There you go. One, two, three. Perfect.
Thank y'all.
Thank you all so much.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. All right.
Hope you're in the budget.
All right. As we move forward in our agenda, do we have a motion to consider and approve Commissioner Court minutes from our regular session dated September 27th? Do we have a motion? We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, gentlemen, are there any modifications that you would like to make to the consent agenda?
Nope, I move.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, that moves us to our open agenda. Tammy, if you would come on up and tell us what's going on with our tax abatement situation.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I was not prepared usually as a letter T. I'm further down, but this morning, item 11A, consider and take appropriate action on proposed mutual termination of a tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Bauer Manufacturing LLC, DBA, NeoRig. We have been in contact with them. They have already executed a mutual termination pending the approval of the court and have already paid their abated taxes. Pending the approval of the court.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item B.
Okay. 11B. Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Alight Solutions LLC and the Woodlands Land Development Company, LP. They are in default. And brought it to the court for y'all to make a decision as to... When I say they're in default, they have not met the criteria for the abatement, so it's, we would start, if y'all declare them in default today, they would have 30 days to cure that. If not, in 30 days, I would bring it back to the court for a final default.
And Commissioners, I asked for this to be on the agenda. This is a company that we, Howard Hughes built a building for them. There was a, I think a 10-year abatement granted to them. They... you know, for COVID and different reasons, they have not been able to meet the criteria of actually having the number of people in the building that they need to have. They're doing a work-from-home protocol instead. Right. And in my opinion, you know, we enter into these agreements. They're legal contracts. If they can't hold up their end of the bargain, I think we should hold them in default. So I've advised Jim Carmen at the development company that they will be defaulted. And with your blessing, Tammy can start the process.
So I have a motion to that effect.
Move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion. All right. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Much,
thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it so much. Item 12A has
we would like to defer.
Tax abatement. We're going to defer
we
that.
We would like to defer that, Judge. Thank you.
Yes, correct. So that will be deferred. All right.
We
at this time.
To update these guidelines, though.
Yes, the guidelines will sunset, and so we do need to think about bringing them back.
Well, why are we deferring?
PG?
Well, if you want to give me some input, that's fine. The reason I put it on was because they do sunset this month.
Yeah.
They're good for 2 years.
We'll put them back on.
And so, you know, a lot of our policies in the draft I've got, which I haven't circulated, haven't put... We're making some technical corrections, but the main thing that y'all need input on is the categories.
And I guess rather than depart, we'll go ahead and.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Well, okay, do you want to withdraw the motion?
Yeah.
Who?
There isn't a motion, so we can just talk about it.
Go ahead, BD.
We're not going to defer it.
Yeah, apparently. Our current guidelines have three categories. Going category A is $4 million to $8 million, and number of minimum jobs 10, and basically 6 years worth of abatement, starting 100% for the year of construction, then going down each year after that, or with a not to exceed each year. It's not a guaranteed. Category B is $8 million to $25 million, again starting 100, and then actually we show 100, not to exceed 100 for another 2 or 3 years, then going down. Then category C is the largest current one, and it's over 25 million. One thing I think we found, and of course Tammy and I have not had a chance to discuss this, one thing we found is, certainly with values going up and everything, the categories are probably need to be revised upwards.
Yeah.
Nothing else. We revised them upwards last time, but they certainly need to be revised upwards. And especially with the growth in the county, and Montgomery County is a good place to do business, I think. So we do have a lot of interest coming. What we've gotten the impression from the court is, take the last tax abatement we had, I think that's about $100 million, and it end up being a five-year abatement. So we thought that probably the court would want to revise those categories up. So that's what we would like. I'd like to see some guidance on. Then we can do that add that to the schedule and send it back. So if y'all want to discuss that some, I would, my own, again, Tammy and I have not done, I would raise the Category A to start at $10 million.
Do you think all of them need to be changed?
All of the categories?
Yes.
Yes, I think they need to revise stuff. Now, how much up and how far, and how big is it before you get to the 10 years?
I mean, how are we going to determine that? We're just going to say we're going to go from 8 to 10, or what are we going to do?
Yeah, it's discretionary with y'all. It's policy for y'all.
Talk about it a little bit.
And,
yeah.
Right, and their guidelines. That's why I said, that's why I put it on to initially have y'all start the discussion.
Tammy, how's this happened in the past with the court?
In the past, we've also, and we've gotten away from it with these last guidelines, but every 2 years we bring them back to the court, and like BD said, these sunset this month. But in the past, we've had a committee, and I think the judge has always served on that committee, and a senior member of the court has served on that committee. And then we have tweaked the number of employees because for the county, we've always taken the, or y'all have always taken the stance that it's not really the number of employees since there's no incentive for the employees back to the county. We don't have the sales tax, but it's the capital gain that we get from the abatement itself, the dollar amount of that abatement.
Which I think last time it was me and Metter and you two.
Could very well be.
It could have been.
I remember it was.
Okay, two senior members of the court, though, yeah.
Well, here's concerning this issue.
No, the other judge. Craig met her at one point. Did you
I was on
after?
The last one, I know that.
Well, I'll help do it this time because so many of them were in Precinct 3. So I
well, in Precinct 1 also.
Precinct 1.
Most of our tax abatements come from Precinct 1 called Conroe Industrial Park.
Right. Well, how about the commissioner?
And Precinct 3.
How about myself and Robert Walker do it this time?
That's up to y'all.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
But
we do that, we defer this. You look at this and bring it back before it sunsets.
Yeah.
And come up with some conclusions.
I'm sorry, Judge. We need some guidance, though. Is employee count still what we're looking at? Or we are
That's
not
what's
so
making them being most the fault.
Okay. Well, right now our minimum employee count for all of them is 10. And one reason we dropped that down was we were finding 4 years ago with the manufacturing, you didn't need as many people. And of course,
right.
A lot of these tax abatements, especially in Conroe Industrial Park, are focused towards the manufacturing concern. So with automation, you don't need as many people.
Right.
Where the employee counts are causing defaults is in the actual tax abatement agreements. And when we do those agreements, we tell the applicants, be conservative on your numbers because we're going to hold you to them, you know. And so we rely upon those numbers. And, you know, we'll address that even more in future tax abatements. There may be some things we can do to maybe not make it as severe for employment numbers.
On the same side, though, I mean, it's important for us, if we're going to give them an abatement and they're going to have a certain number of employees here, we want these people moving here and living here and participating in, you know, the economy all the way around. So I totally disagree with the idea that employees aren't important. I think that not only do we need to keep it, but we need to make our process of defaulting more automatic. If they don't meet it, you have the ability to just default to people. Don't have
well,
to come,
by statute,
you know,
I have to bring it to court. Y'all have to start the process. We give them that 30-day window, and then we come back in another 30 days, and they are defaulted. I will tell you, I'm bringing two more to the court, probably at the next court
date. Far more have defaulted than have actually finished their abatement.
COVID has hit that has hit them hard as far as employees, and that's where we're finding all of them out of compliance is in employees. It's not
their capital investment is
good. It's the employee count.
Tim, there's a couple of things I think that's important as we move forward and as the commissioners work on this is the dynamics of the county has changed. We know this from the last abatement. They came in, we started out one area, and we didn't do it. And then we looked at they made an adjustment in terms of, I guess it was time was, I think, the biggest issue.
The number of
and,
years.
You know, some of those kinds of things. But with the astronomical growth and continued growth of the county, I would concur with the commissioner that it needs to be, need to be very adamant and, if you will, tough on this stuff, because people are going to come here either way, is in my judgment. Mm-hmm. And we want good companies. Obviously, we want good people to come with them. We want to improve the economy. But if we would, as you guys do this, to be thinking about just the dynamics now of the county being changed, because we're so strong and people want to come here.
Well, Judge, the whole idea behind tax payments, they're incentives. They're not entitlements. They're
right.
not rewards.
Right.
So you want to make it to where it's an incentive to get good companies coming in, bring all the economic development, not only the investment, the economic development, the employees, because we are one economy. And so that's the idea. You want to incentivize, and you also want to incentivize certain, you know, certain investment. That's why, you know, maybe I suggest raising the lower abatement mm-hmm. so that we're dealing with larger investments rather than your $4 million investment.
I agree with Commissioner Nowak, though. I think we wait too long when they start in default. And how do we know when they're going into default? Who catches that?
I do. They file an annual. Most of our new agreements, since BD and I have really been on it, they file an annual report. Some of our older ones are required to file two reports a year.
Two reports.
But most of them are on annual reporting now, and they report in July. And so in August, I started reaching out to, because they have until the end of July to report. And so in August, I started reaching out to BD about these potential companies in default. And some of them have come forward on their own saying, you know, we realize we're in default. We want to do a mutual termination, as was the case with Bauer. Other ones, like Alight and another one that I'll be bringing to the court in a couple of weeks, they're just in default, and they have not come forward for a mutual termination. So, I catch those to answer your question.
And we will offer a mutual termination to them, given the court's action.
If in July you catch that they're in default, is there a chance for them correcting this situation and getting, or are they done?
No, there's a chance for them to cure the default.
Well,
in the case of employees, it's hard for them because they're reporting for the prior year. And order for them to, I guess in the case of Alight, they could technically, I guess, bring everyone back to their campus and cure that. But
And we looked at that in some of the newer abatements, and we will probably look at it going further in the future. Part of the issue with the employment counts, it basically makes an impossible cure. You can't cure if you're reporting late. We have to soften that blow, and some of them put in an alternative, like a penalty that says if you do this, then you're paying so much per employee that you didn't have as a penalty on the account, and then if you keep doing it, then we default you completely.
Right.
But so there are some things that we do within the agreement to hopefully give them the opportunity to cure.
Okay.
But the statute does require some opportunity to cure. But if they're a default in the past that you can't cure, then no, they're just defaulted.
Well, and it stems from COVID. That's the main thing we all hear, in which it affected so many companies. And like he said, that's tough with employee count because you can't find anybody to work nowadays. And they'll have good intentions, but when they're in default, as far as I'm concerned.
No, that's what I think. I mean,
I agree.
Regardless of what their intentions are, they enter into this contract with us, and I can assure you, if we're not meeting our obligations, they're going to hold us accountable.
Yeah,
we deserve.
Right.
We should do that for our average taxpayer.
Yep.
And I think we have to be very judicious in utilizing this tool. I mean, everybody that pays taxes in Montgomery County, all of our homeowners, they, you know, we did the maximum we can for them with the homestead exemption, and we try to keep our tax rate as low as we can. But there is no process for a homeowner to put, you know, they can't come to us and say, well, I'm going to put $100,000 into my house. I want some sort of abatement to do that. I mean, so you got to
I agree. And something, and to give them something on the front end that gives them a way out.
Well,
so going in, okay, here, if that doesn't work, try this. You know, I agree with the commissioners on this. It needs
I
to
think
be
we can work forward from this point
yeah.
and improve this whole program somewhat.
But I want to go back to your question, Charlie. I mean, I think when they, most of them are reporting in July.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they report twice a year, their second report is in July, which is the one that's most accurate for us. And that's as soon as, and they're reporting for the prior year. So, like, you know, they have until the end of July. I reached out in August, and we've been working through some of this to bring to the court. I think we're acting as quickly as we can on bringing them forward once we find them in default.
Good.
All right.
That's great.
All right.
Glad we didn't defer it.
So we have the commissioner.
No, we don't. Neither motion other than Robert
Walker, Walker,
unless
yeah.
you want to no.
move on me and Robert.
There you go.
There you go. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much.
Will the two of them be working with us on revising these guidelines
yes.
to bring that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you all very much. All right. Let's move forward. We're going to temporarily recess Montgomery County Commissioner's Court to convene public hearings. Amy, if you would move us forward on that.
Consider the partial replat of Reserve A, Section 1 of Loch Ness Cove to be known as Loch Ness Cove Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reduce the size of Reserve A and create a single lot. The plat is not ready. We will not be taking action today. There is no HOA bound, but today is the public hearing. So if you have comments, if you want to come up and let the commissioners know. We have received several calls. So.
Yes. If you come up one at a time. All right, go ahead and come on up. There you go. State your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Suzanne Allen. I'm a resident of Loch Ness Cove. I have this in writing for you.
Okay.
Per deed restrictions, I have consistently paid my dues to Loch Ness Incorporated for the right to the access to the park and for the use of the park and to also contribute to the fund for the maintenance of the community proper such as properties such as easements and the park. I do not want the park to be taken from the greater population and sold as one property. The park has been valued at $500 from its inception, allowing the taxes to stay well below actual appraised value and allowing our homes to increase in value at a steady yet comparable rate associated with other houses and properties in the area. Mrs. Halsberg informed me yesterday that they will ask at least $350,000 for the park property if it is replatted to a single property. There are several issues associated with this plan. First, the developer, per the deed, will use the funds collected to maintain the park, and they are supposed to use the funds maintained from the park and use it as needed for maintenance, drainage easements, and such. While Commissioner Walker has been helpful in replacing some grates, we have several 36-inch underground pipes that are owned by Loch Ness Incorporated. These pipes have been, they run through a vast underground system in the neighborhood, and they encompass the entire neighborhood. I have three lots, and one of them goes out under my dock, and it's a massive amount of water, and right now they're working okay. But if they take the money and they leave with it, who is going to maintain this? The county has already made it very clear that they do not accept drainage easements of these sorts. I've spoken to you many times about it. The county will clean the ditches and even replace the grates, which I appreciate. It isn't often that the county gets a chance to make a developer accountable before they disappear and abandon easements in the unincorporated areas and leave the residents to fend for themselves, which ultimately falls back to our county government, which will be Commissioner Precinct 2. Please do not let Loch Ness cash out without leaving money in an escrow for future projects. This just isn't fair to us or to the county or other taxpayers. The other issue is that if they sell the park, it is going to seriously hamper our value and many homes that are not on the waterfront. Basically, our appraised value will artificially rise and our market value will go down because they will conflate the price of the park and restrict access to the water for residents. There will no longer be a park at all. I am asking for delay in the replatting to allow the community association to finish forming per the deed. It's time, and I know that it hasn't been done, but since Mr. Gilbreth passed away in 2012, we haven't been given the opportunity to have a community dues association formed and have it transferred as per the deed, and I would like to see that done. I have no personal stake in the park and do not want to personally own the park, and I want to make that very clear. I have my own stuff to take care of. But I will help with a community association if we can form one. I just consider, please, I would like to form this community association because our deed does allow us to use the money that we collect to also maintain the infrastructure. So please do not replat our park.
We are just saying we're not taking action on this item today.
I know.
So there'll be opportunity for more discussion. Thank you.
And
appreciate
I have six copies of this for you guys.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
If you would, can you give us, would you mind, give us each copy of that. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Can I ask how old the subdivision is? Isn't it around the early 80s?
The subdivision was established, I believe, in 1971 or 72.
Yeah.
71.
And there's never been a HOA or any kind of nothing?
Well, not until recently. And I do also have some petitions that are signed and some documentation. May I bring those to you as well? Each commissioner has a folder.
Can she approach?
Yes.
Judge?
Yes, you may. Yes, if you would. Thank you.
Commissioner, is this precinct one or two?
One. Precinct
okay.
One. It's on Lake Conroe.
I thought I heard.
Yeah,
I heard two while ago, but it's
okay.
One.
Well,
and this
is,
honestly, the
isn't
first.
This something? I'm not trying to dump this on you, but this is something you. Whatever you want to do
fine.
Is gonna. What happens, right?
Yeah, this is the first I've heard about this. I've heard some.
Because I think it's a terrible idea to take a park and turn it into a house. Personally.
Well, we do too. I mean, people today are bringing, they're adding parks. They're not taking them away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you're.
If you would proceed, state your name for the record, if you would, again, if you already have.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Sandra Walker Mack. I own Lot 77. It's across the street from the park in Loch Ness Cove Subdivision. I was shocked, along with so many other residents, to receive a notice of public hearing. We received a notice of public hearing by certified letter from your office about the application to replat. And when Loch Ness Inc. was contacted about this notice, their response was, well, they just weren't aware that the court would send out certified letters notifying the property owners that this is after they kind of secretly submitted an application to replat our park in order to sell it for unlawful personal gain. I mean, that's what they're doing. And now I realize that some folks have been led to believe the park located in Loch Ness Cove Subdivision is the personal property of the president of Loch Ness Inc. That's not true. If this were a lawful request of someone's personal property, we would not have received certified letters from this office, nor would any of us be here today talking about this. Loch Ness Inc. has clearly demonstrated they're not interested in following the law. I mean, if you go into and you don't want anybody to find out you're submitting an application to replat, that's kind of in secret. And they're not interested in honoring their responsibility to all of us property owners. In fact, they've committed a breach of contract. It's a violation of their duty to the property owners. This is a substantial misrepresentation of product in the form of our own living conditions and a represented park that was initially on the deed back in 1971. Our deed restrictions are also very clear. To outline changes. A proposal has to be presented to amend that deed restriction. You have a 30-day notice prior to a vote of that proposed amendment, and it must be submitted to those property owners. And on top of that, you have to have 2/3 vote from the property owners to pass that amendment. None of that was done. None of it. And due to the breach of contract and the attempt to use our park for unlawful personal gain, we request this court to demand Loch Ness Inc. to transfer our park and the boat ramp to Loch Ness Cove Civic Association immediately. Now, I know you've heard that we don't have a civic association. We never had, but we've worked really fast. Our team has worked incredibly fast, property owners volunteered their own time, and I don't know how long, if you know how long it takes to start up a business, but there's a heck of a lot of paperwork involved. So Loch Ness Cove Civic Association has been established as of this past week. Documented copies are in your folders for you. And we're ready and more than willing to accept the transfer of the property of the park, manage all matters related to such. We've even have a couple of committees formed as of yesterday. Aside from being unlawful in the first place, it removes explicit rights and is a violation of the deed restrictions on multiple accounts. The majority of property owners, they want to keep the park. Copies of the petition and letters from those who are unable to attend today, they've been provided to you. It alters the character of our neighborhood significantly. Again, people are adding parks and green spaces to communities. They're not taking them away. I mean, per the EPA, a recent study in July of 2022 shows that neighborhood parks have a positive health effect on individuals and in communities. I mean, by removing this park, this increases in health and safety risks. It negatively affects property values, which you heard earlier. And declining the application, it really doesn't impose any additional financial or economic burden that has not already been self-inflicted by matter of choice of Loch Ness Inc. by grossly mismanaging their duties and responsibilities to the property owners. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for sharing that, Commissioner Walker.
Yes, I will be honest with you folks. This is the first, this morning when I walked in, this is the first I've heard of this. I talked to Lynn about the grates and the drainage. I was not aware of any of this, and it's, and you're saying there was a certified letter from my office?
Yes, sir.
From
not
precinct
from yours,
one?
Not from yours. From our office.
Okay.
It would be from us. So when it goes to engineering, then it goes through a process. The county attorney makes sure that people who may be affected are given the opportunity to come and speak to you, and that's what today's public hearing is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I am...
And Commissioner Walker, our office, as well as I'm sure you want to get with the citizens, but our office as well, you know, we can talk after this meeting as well about
sure.
this.
Well, we will talk about it.
Yeah,
sure.
You
it,
should certainly get the letter too, though.
Might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes.
My name is James Shottle, and I live in Loch Ness Cove. I've had the property there for 45 years. I've seen this happened several times. I can assure you that the homeowners, that 75 to 80% of them won't lend to be able to sell the property. We don't want the property. And the reason for it is that property is going to have to be all bulkheaded. I don't know where she's going to come up with the money to pay for this. We don't use, there's four or five people that use this park. This woman tries to take care of it. We had a meeting in my place. People voted on trying to give $30 a month. We did it till we started having somebody call the sheriff's department every time somebody came down there to use it. I can assure you that some of these names, because I asked them yesterday, are not from our subdivision. I don't know anything about any association or civics deal. We haven't been asked anything on that. This is not right at all. If you want to do it right, then get the homeowners that live there, and I'll guarantee you that 75% of them are going to say, get rid of the park. Give us that opportunity. Thank you.
And again, as everybody a reminder, this is why we're not voting on this today, because there is discussion that's going on. Commissioner Walker will work on this for us.
And
yes.
Good morning. I'm Al Hayslip, and I'm C.W. Gilbreth, who's the developer of this property. He's my father-in-law. So let me give you just a real brief overview. This property was in the early 1970s, C.W. Gilbreth and his wife decided to develop something called Loch Ness Cove, Loch Ness Inc. So they started the work on the development, and it ended up with some 77 lots. And that, so that gives you an idea. They built bulkheads around. He put in a marina. He did a lot of the inner structure of the whole development. He created this park that we're talking about with a boat launch. With a boat launch. That's a key factor. Lindlin, his daughter, he has three daughters, two of which are here. One I'm married to, the youngest, and Lindlin is the now the president of Loch Ness Inc. Okay, he put on, or he built a house for both himself and for Lindlin to live on. So she's lived there for 30, 40 years and still lives there. Okay, the park is right across the street from her house. When Willard C.W. Gilbert died in 2012, he was helping, he and Lindelin and others were doing the maintenance that they thought was required. He died in 2012. In 2013, Lindelin, his daughter, sent out a letter to the whole subdivision that it would be their responsibility, to take care of the maintenance, because they just couldn't handle, she couldn't handle it anymore. Okay, so that's 2013. In 2017, they convened a meeting of all the residents, and about half of them decided that they would pay a maintenance fee just out of their good nature to help with Lindelin. Lindelin has taken care of the park by herself, but the reason for the replatting, is that the right word, replatting, was that we recognize that the community, or not the community, the subdivision, their main reason for wanting the park was the boat launch area. Okay? So that's why we had it replatted, was to separate the park from the boat launch. We, it's everybody's intention to continue to have the boat launch. That's not going to be part of the park plat. So in order to do that, we had to have the replatting done. Now, so that's a key element. We understand from the residents that typically only 2 to 3 families a year use the park. Now, maybe it's 5 or 6, but it's a very small number. But a few more than that use the ramp for the boat. Again, the boat ramp is to be included, will remain with the Loch Ness development. So we're not trying to drive values down or values whatever, but we recognize that Lindelin cannot handle the maintenance by herself of the park. So that's why we're trying to sell it, and we're not going anyplace. I think someone said they're going to take the money and run. We're not taking the money and running. Lindelin still lives right across the street from the park. Yes, sir.
Who is the property owner? Who is listed as the owner of that park?
The owner of the home, well, that's Lindelin. It's Loch Ness Inc.
On Loch. Somebody from the county attorney's office. Who owns the park?
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness Inc.
Which is her, she's president. The daughter is president of Loch Ness Inc.
And so.
Vice president, chairperson, agent, the whole Loch Ness. Nine,
sure. This is Colton
as
who
a,
did
as
the
a
survey.
Park,
I'm
as
sorry.
As a park, it's designated for community use. And when you sell it, are you going to split the proceeds up with the community?
It, when you say it's designated for community
anybody
use.
Anybody has access to that property that lives in that community right
it
now.
It wasn't designated. It was, it's It's a park
that the lot owners have access to egress to the water through the park and the boat ramp.
They still have access
and
without the park. That's
the boat ramp because it's totally out. It's never been taken care of.
Yes,
sir.
Shed some light on this for us.
Commissioner, to answer your question, the CPL or the title report submitted with the application shows Paula Diane Gilbreth Amon, Vicki Sue Gilbreth Hayslip, and Linda Lynn Gilbreth Boswell as the owners of the property. Subject.
That's Willard's three daughters.
Judge, with all due respect, I think we should just let Commissioner Walker handle
this. Yeah, I think we need to.
If we can suspend the public hearing and let Commissioner Walker handle this.
So we need, today is just the public hearing. People who are here to speak, because it's been noticed as such, need to be given an opportunity to speak.
Okay.
They've taken off time.
We don't
want to
take
here.
That away, but this is Commissioner Walker's.
Oh, I absolutely agree, and I understand that.
We should have had the opportunity to address this before it came
into
the
public.
Here's the deal.
I don't understand why he's being blindsided. He should have had this opportunity to meet with these people
I don't think he was intentionally blindsided.
If I may.
Procedures to put it for a public hearing. So
when plots
what can happen is what's happening right now. Everybody who has an interest have an opportunity to speak here today.
Well, I think you'd feel the same way if it was your precinct and you didn't get notice of it. I mean, I feel bad for
Commissioner Walker's willing to work with the situation. And when it is a public hearing and people have an opportunity here to share with us what their thoughts are about it, with the understanding, he has already said that he would work with whoever we need to work with to get this resolved.
Yeah.
In one form or fashion or another. But if there's others who would like to speak, this is a public hearing, and you have that opportunity.
Get with them, and let's set up something.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Colton Doyle. I'm the platting director for Texas Professional Surveying. If you need to get with me about this project, feel free to call my office so I can get in touch with you.
Yeah. Get with Jeffrey, and we're going to try to put it together and have a meeting at my office.
Okay. And regarding the property owners, based off the city planning letter and based off the deed of the property, it is deeded to the three daughters. It's not deeded to Loch Ness Cove. So I kind of fail to see where this needs to be given to a civic association. Also, regarding the petitions, the majority of those petitions are probably homeowners that don't even live in Loch Ness Cove. This is going to be a subdivision matter. I don't think it's a community matter because the boat slip in the park is all private. And so that's the whole purpose of this replat is we want to keep the boat slip for community use, not community use, for subdivision use, and then divide the park elsewhere. And then what they choose to do with the park is now beyond my control on that. I'm just handling the actual legal side of the surveying. So if you need to get with me, feel free to, and we can go.
Jeffrey, if you raise your hand, so there you go. All right.
When they replied, wouldn't there be any parking or anything, just to slip?
I'm sorry, can you restate that?
Okay.
Let's get later.
Yes, you may. Come forward if you would, please.
I really appreciate it. I just want to point out that this property has been valued at $500 since 1972. They have not paid the taxes that the rest of us have paid. They've paid whatever 2% of $500 is. And if they had always intended on selling this and replatting it and calling it property, then they need to, their tax abatement needs to be rescinded.
Maybe that is not fair. Maybe Tammy can work on that.
Well, it is not fair.
There will be no parking if it's replatted, even if the boat ramp is there. And if we do not have a community association, there will be no one to re-bulkhead that right as it is right now. Whether they own it or not, they have been granted special privileges because that is a park and was to remain a park. And our deed clearly states that Mr. Gilbreth would transfer that to the community association, not an HOA, but to the community association. And we are more than willing to, and our deed also gives us the power, if we do that, to levy a fee each year, and we can do that.
Well, Commissioner Walker has agreed to work with everybody.
Thank you. Please don't take our part.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Yes, one last comment. I just want to make another comment. If you do, come to the mic, if you would, please.
Yes, I do
want to restate your name for the record.
Yeah, James Shottle.
this park has caused nothing but problems throughout the years and that. If you, the council, I mean, the commissioner for Precinct 1 would have a time to sit down with all of the people and get certified, I can get certified letters from 75% of the people that do not want this park, because it's going to cost these people, me, I don't want to pay $130 or $70 a month. I'm on a fixed income. Somebody's going to have to, yeah, well, you better figure
okay,
it
well,
different.
Well,
but anyway, if you would set something up
yeah.
for us, be more than happy.
Well, we'll sit down and talk about it. I mean, this is brand new to me, so there's a lot of moving parts here.
It is.
That needs to be discussed.
He tried to give it to us at one time, and the people said they didn't want it.
So what kind of problems, well, let's talk
we're doing
about
it. We're you have it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it so much.
Thank y'all.
Is there anyone else on this topic? If not, then let's move on to the next item. Thank y'all.
Considering approved changing the street name of Amberley Court to Amber Lee Place, located in the Woodlands Village and Alden Bridge, Section 59, to be consistent with 911 addressing, MCAD, and USPS. Is anybody here to talk about that? And Judge, I think that we're ready to close the public hearing.
Thank you. Then on the, we will make do have a motion to approve item B1 in Precinct 2.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Let's move on to item 14A1, Precinct 3. Commissioner.
Yes. This, for a long while now, Precincts 2, 4, and 3 have been working with the city of Shenandoah on making some changes to research for us at I-45. And
yep.
It is difficult for three commissioners to try to work on a project together because we can't talk to each other than in open court. So the purpose of putting this on here is really so the three of us can have a conversation on where we are, what we're going to do with this, how it's going to be paid for. When this first came up, it was 3-4 years ago. Different city council, different, everybody was different pretty much. And we're looking at putting a straight lane and another left turn lane under the freeway. There's some complications because of a very expensive signal box that controls a lot of fiber optics for TxDOT is right underneath the freeway there. Each of the three precincts, I think we're going to put in around $250,000, roughly, some amount. We need a formal agreement with the city, still a letter of intent to be done. But now I think there's some ideas of maybe using pass-through money instead of the funding agreement between the city paying probably 80% or so or 90% and the county paying the rest. So if we can just figure out if y'all want to use pass-through now or how we want to build it.
That's what I would like to do. You want to go?
I would suggest that we do use the pass-through. I know City of Shenandoah has put a lot of time and effort in this along with John Brow with the construction plans, with the design. They spent upwards of $300,000 on this project already. They've got some right-of-way they still need to buy. They're in the process of getting that right-of-way. And I think it's a perfect project for pass-through. I mean, it fits the footprint of TxDOT. It's in within TxDOT's right-of-way. It's a project that I've already talked to James Koch about at TxDOT. He's aware of it. He agrees that it's a perfect pass-through program project. It's about a $3.5 million project right now. The longer we wait, the more that may go up.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But I would hope, and I would just make a motion that we go and use our pass-through funds for this project. We get all of our advance funding agreements and all of our paperwork in order, and use this as a pass-through program through Montgomery County.
Is that a form of motion?
Motion, can you say also? I'm going to say that since it's Shenandoah and you want to go this route,
yeah, I'll take
that you be in charge of it, and now there's no local funding, so Precinct 3 is not paying for anything, Precinct 4 won't be paying for anything, comes out of
pass
there,
through.
And then you have one less person in the middle of the
I'll take it, and I want to take it.
I appreciate that, but I want to be clear that the part of the money is on the $56 million part because it's two different pots of money.
Yes. It's in our escrow account. Okay. That's the money in our escrow account.
Right. All right.
So to be clear, what you just said, the $56 million, this is not part of that money?
No, it is.
It is.
And how much? $3.5 million.
It's around $3.5 million.
Okay.
Probably be more than that in the end.
It'll probably look.
You're going to put the right turn lane in too, right? Off of 40.
It could be $3.5-4 million, but I mean, we'll get it all nailed down.
Just do up to five, just to be safe with everything.
Okay, that works for me. Up to five.
Okay, we have a motion.
Y'all got that motion?
Yeah, and Commissioner Riley is going to head up the project. We're going to use pass through money in order
to
be able to fund
up
to $5 million. We have a motion to that effect. I'll second that motion.
Perfect.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. We're using the pass-through money. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Thank you all, John, and all the work y'all done.
Absolutely.
We need to get this thing going. We need to make this thing go. So we're ready to go.
All right. Is there anything else? All right. Now, at this point, we're going to recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code. Yes, sir?
And we don't need 15A on executive session.
Well, let me finish the topic, and we'll take that off. Because I'm going to take that off. We've already discussed it.
Okay.
Yeah. When we get to executive session. Following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. As the commissioner has reminded us, we've already discussed the issue with 15A, so we will be discussing 15B in executive session. We shall return, and it won't take long. Thank you.
I just didn't want you to gavel us out.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Tell them it doesn't work that way in the future.
We're going to reconvene from our executive session. There is no action to be taken. Are there any citizens who would like to make any comments on any particular topic at this time? If there are none, then we're going to move to adjourn. Do we have a motion?
Can I make one announcement?
Oh, yes, Commissioner Riley.
I was concerned about our Magnolia students this morning. I failed to tell everybody here and everybody that's listening, former Judge Craig Doyle's father passed away Saturday. I want to make sure everybody knows that, and we need to keep them in our prayers. And I think the services are tomorrow at
2:00
at Cashner. So.
Thank you, Commissioner. Huh? From
11?
Okay.
If you add it together, it's 2.
They're tomorrow at Cashner's, and I thought it was 1, the visitation, and 2, the service.
Well, that's what I thought.
All right.
So, okay.
All right. Thank you. Duly noted, Commissioner. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. At this time, I'm going to take a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're done. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Commissioner Riley, you have